In this video, we'll look at how to set up, plan, and manage an Agile project using the Team Foundation Service Preview from Microsoft. So here I am, logged into my account, and I'm sitting on the welcome page. First thing I want to do is review a few things. So I'm going to go up to my control panel. And let's go over to the Tailspin project. And we'll view the project administration page. So I can see here I have one team called the Scrum team, and it has four members. Let's go ahead and click that team. So my team is Dieter, Jake, myself, and Tony. Let's go back to the project and to our areas. Now before we start to plan and track work in our Tailspin project, we need to have these areas set up. Now these areas represent logical or physical components of the application we're building. Let's go ahead and add another area called mobile. And we'll save and close that. Now notice up here the root node Tailspin has been selected. This means that our team, the Scrum team, is responsible for all areas underneath this. Now, if we had multiple teams working on the Tailspin product, we could tailor each team's list of areas. This influences what work items are visible in their backlogs. Let's go to iterations. Iterations represent the sprint, milestones, or cycle time for your project. As you can see, the Visual Studio Scrum process template sets up a number of release and sprint nodes for us automatically. First thing I want to do is set a couple of dates here. Let's go over here to Sprint 1 and set the start and end date. We'll go with 2-week sprints, and we'll do the same for Sprint 2. I'm going to uncheck the other boxes. We're not going to be working on Sprint 3, 4, 5, and 6 in our planning tools right now. This will simplify the planning of our work. Let's go ahead and close this tab. We're done with the control panel, and we're back here to our Getting Started page. Let's click the Tailspin project. Notice the home page here shows our sprint and the start and end date. There's also shortcuts over here if we want to jump back and manage our list of iterations and areas. Notice these shortcuts over here. Since our project's based on the Visual Studio Scrum template, here are some of the more popular work item types that we can create. A product backlog item, a task, a bug, or even some more on this drop down here. Let's create a new PBI. One of the features we want in the product is to display the product version and web server information. And I'm going to assign that to myself. I think it's got a business value of about 25. And it goes into the administration area. And we can't forget our description. Let's use the user story format. As a site visitor, I want to be able to determine the computer name, IP address, and application version so that help desk can be more helpful. Let's go ahead and save and close. And we'll create some additional product backlog items in just a moment. Let's do that from over here on the Work tab. Now this tool makes it easier for us to view and manage our product backlog. It's a great way to visualize, update, and even prioritize the features and bug fixes in our product. Now by default, we can quickly add product backlog items and even bugs here in this panel. If we don't want to see this panel, we can turn it off or back on again. So in Scrum, bugs are part of the product backlog as well. So we can add a new bug that says the UX is horrible when viewed on a mobile device. And that's all we need is a title to be able to add that to the backlog. Now we're going to want to double click this and edit it and make a few other changes. One thing we want to do is assign it to the product owner. That's me. And let's put it in a specific area. There's the new mobile area we created. So we'll go ahead and save and close it. And we'll create one more bug. It says the user experience is horrible when viewed in IE9. Go ahead and add that to the list as well. Okay, I've spent some time grooming the backlog, meeting with the developers, and getting some estimates in here. As you can see, all of these PBIs and bugs have been approved, and we have estimated the effort on each one. Now notice this last one here. The effort is 34, which is way larger than we can actually do in one sprint. That's one we're going to want to break down. So if we double click this, we can actually go over here to links. We can create a new link to a child PBI. We'll change this from bug to product backlog item. And let's break this down into a little smaller piece. Let's just convert the home page. And we'll add a comment. That looks good. That's a little more realistic. Let's go ahead and click OK. And we'll save and close. And again for the parent. Now if we refresh the browser, you can see the child PBI is listed in a hierarchical format. Now one of my duties as product owner is to make sure that this product backlog is properly ordered. Now we can do that by just dragging and dropping in here. So the number one priority item I want is this Twitter feed on the homepage. So we can just drag and drop that. Next, I'd like IE9 to render correctly. And I'd really like to check the order status. Get a lot of complaints on that one. And then the store location and hours. So in the sprint planning meeting, we forecast being able to implement the first three PBIs. We use the velocity of 22 to make this determination. Now we can visualize that forecast here. We just turn on the forecast feature, change this default value of 10 to our value of 22, and then we can see where sprint 1's work is forecasted. And beyond that are future sprints like sprint 2. Now we can just drag each of these PBIs up to sprint 1, and it'll change the path accordingly. This is how we begin to form our sprint backlog. Now, speaking of velocity, up here in the corner, you don't see it, but there's actually a thumbnail here, and if you click it, it'll show a graphical history of completed effort from prior sprints. Here's an example of the kind of velocity chart you would see. This one actually shows some historical data. And let's go take a look at our emerging sprint backlog. We'll just click Sprint 1. Now, included in the sprint backlog is also our plan, or our tasks, for implementing these features. We can quickly add these by clicking these plus signs. So one of the things we're going to have to do is actually create a Twitter account. Notice it picked up the iteration and the area of the parent PBI. We don't know who's going to do the work yet, so we'll leave it unassigned. But as a team, we agree it's going to be about 2 hours worth of work to do this. We'll save and close that. I've taken the liberty of adding some additional tasks. Not all of them have been assigned to the team members yet. So you can see over here the individual remaining work in hours rolls up to a total of 40. Over here in the Work Details pane, you can see the work details by activity and team member. Or you can turn this panel off. Now you can't see it because the sprint hasn't really started yet. But here's a thumbnail for the sprint burndown. When you click it, you'd see the sprint burndown graph. Here's an example of the kind of sprint burndown chart that you would see. And let's click on the Capacity tab. So you can use this screen to actually manage your team's capacity. For example, if I wanted to, I could give Tony 6 hours of capacity per day for testing activities. I think I'll also give myself some days off. I plan on going skiing for a long weekend coming up. These settings will help you plan your team's capacity for the sprint, so you don't overcommit to work. I'll go ahead and save my changes. And let's click on the board. Now the board shows the PBIs and bugs you've committed to delivering this sprint, and then across it shows the different tasks in the different states. So you can see we have a lot of tasks here for our Add Twitter Feed to the Homepage PBI. Some of these are assigned to team members, some of them are not. There's also a person filter over here. Right now it's showing everybody, but we can tell it to just show Dieter's work. And then it makes Dieter's task a different color from the rest, so it stands out. We can also ask for the unassigned tasks. And this makes it easy to pull in new work when you're done with your task. I'll go ahead and put it back to all. Now it's also easy to create a task from this screen. You can hit the plus sign. And we can add a task that we may have forgotten about or didn't know about during sprint planning, such as creating a rollout plan and automation to support it. We think that's going to be about a day's worth of work. There it is. We can always use this drop-down here to assign people later. And if we got the number wrong, hours, we can change it here. We can say, no, that's actually 4 hours, given a new understanding of the problem. So since Dieter's kind of a nocturnal developer, he's already begun working on this task. So we can show that by just dragging it over to the In Progress column. As Dieter revises his estimates each day, we can just make that change here. And finally, when Dieter's done with this task, we can just drag it over here, in which case remaining hours go to zero. If Dieter prematurely dragged this to Done, he can put it back to In Progress, but there's an error telling us we need to set the remaining work. So we can just double-click this, or use the drop-down, and set a value here. You can also pivot this whole experience by going to the Team Members tab. Here you'll see the team members listed down the left-hand side and the tasks assigned to them or the unassigned tasks across the board. The filter works here too. We can have it light up the unassigned tasks. Or if we're working for a specific person, such as Jake, we can see Jake's task down here. Or we can drag an unassigned task, such as coding the feed reader, into the In Progress box. That'll move it down to Jake's area and assign it to Jake. This board makes managing your tasks very easy. In this video, we've taken a look at how to set up, plan, and manage an Agile project within the Team Foundation Service Preview from Microsoft.